This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Let's go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood's the most reliable heating and air conditioning product in the DMV. And we find Dane Brugler of The Athletic, one of our favorite draft experts who's been working for a year for this night. He's like Santa loading up the sleigh on Christmas Eve. What are these last few hours like for you, Dane?
We're ready to go. You know, it feels like we've been preparing for years and years for this one night. And it's funny, we think we have a good idea, and then the 24 hours before the draft starts, it's like, all right, well, we have no idea. Just because teams, especially this draft, teams look at this draft very, very differently team to team. Boards look very different. The way, you know, just philosophies, how teams want to attack the draft is very different based off of what this draft has to offer. You can't go into a draft with the same philosophy every year. You have to pivot based on what the college game is giving you. And this draft is just very unique compared to other classes, not just the lack of quarterbacks at the top, but certain positions are stronger in certain areas. And so it's really interesting to learn how each team views this draft, and the ultimate way that they'll show us will happen tonight when we find out each pick. And, you know, I think we're going to see a little bit of chaos, and I'm all for it.
Dane, give me a couple of guys that have yo-yoed here for you, whether it's team interest or your view on them or, you know, kind of a consensus. Thinking of someone that at one point was a surefire top five, top six, top 10, now may not go in the first round at all and maybe is back in. It feels like there's been a lot of fluctuation here this year.
Yeah, and you know, my grades are my grades, and you know, like that's pretty much set in stone. It's in the beast, you know. It's how I feel about all these guys, but how teams feel about them is obviously very different. Mm-hmm. And you know, a scout, like I could talk to a scout all year about how they feel about a player, but when they get to draft meetings, and if the GM doesn't like a player, then boom, that's it. You know, he's not an option for that player, and so. This year, you look at it, and the number one wild card is obviously Shedeur Sanders. Will we hear Shedeur Sanders' name called tonight in the first round? He didn't make my final first round mock. But if he went 21 to the Steelers or a team traded into the late first round to get him, it wouldn't be a big surprise. But it will be interesting to see which quarterback is quarterback two, and then how many end up going in the first round. I think we will see five quarterbacks in the top 50, but the order and where exactly they'll go is really up in the air at this point. And you know, you guys have to feel great about, your current quarterback situation, because there's a lot of teams just kind of struggling to figure these guys out and wondering, all right, would we take them here? Are we, you know, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, like it's just all up in the air. Some of the non-quarterbacks, Mason Graham from Michigan, a defensive tackle, you know, you could argue he's one of the top five players in this draft, but if he fell out of the top 10, I don't think it'd be a huge shock just because he looks a little bit – like when you think of a top five defensive tackle, you think of Quinnen Williams, where Mason Graham's just a little bit different than that. And then are we really going to see two tight ends in the top, you know, 14 picks? Like that's one that a lot of teams are split on. You know, it's just – I think we're going to see chalk at the top. It's going to be Cam Ward. It's going to be Travis Hunter. It's going to be Abdul Carter. And then the chaos could really start because, again, these teams view all these players a little bit differently.
Dane Brugler of The Athletic. By the way, Mason Graham in his last mock, 9 to the New Orleans Saints. Yeah. Take us through your top five.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be chalk with the top three. Like I said, Cam Ward, you know, we at the combine, it became clear he was going to be the number one overall pick. It was just more of, are the Titans going to stick and pick, or are they going to entertain offers and potentially get out of there? They love Ward. He'll be a Titan. The Browns, I think, are taking the best player in the draft at number two in Travis Hunter, which, you know, the Browns need a quarterback, but the next best thing is to create a spark on offense. And that's what Travis Hunter will do as a receiver. They'll figure out how to use him as corner at corner as well. But he's the best player in the draft. I think it's the right move. And then the Giants, I think they're also going to make the right move with Abdul Carter. Instead of reaching on a quarterback, you go and get a pass rush option like this. And you build up that we had to really like what the Giants have done on defense here the last 2 years. You know what they did through the draft and then free agency, adding Paulson Adebo, adding Javon Holland, and then you know Brian Burns last year. You add Abdul Carter in that mix. You probably pick up a defensive tackle in the third round, and all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at this Giants defense and saying, all right, this is something that we can get behind, even if the quarterback option is a stopgap with Russell Wilson. At four, that we know the Patriots need a left tackle. I'll say it's going to be Will Campbell from LSU, despite the length concerns. The tape says he can play left tackle, and I think the Patriots feel that way as well. The chaos could start at five, where we five, six, seven. The common denominator between the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Jets is first-year general managers. So a lot of intrigue about which direction those guys can go. I still think Ashton Jeanty at five makes the most sense for Jacksonville, because when you're drafting top five, you're drafting impact potential. And to me, Jeanty will give the Jaguars a bigger impact, a greater impact than anybody else they could take there. And you figure, okay, Trevor Lawrence, what's going to help our young quarterback? Well, a consistent run game. And not only a consistent run game, but a dynamic run game. And then you have Brian Thomas at receiver. And you're looking at this quarterback, running back, receiver trio in Jacksonville, and all of a sudden with Liam Cohen running the offense, this might be something that can really propel them in that division. So I'm still leaning towards Ashton Jeanty at number five.
Dane Brugler with us here on Grant and Danny. So thinking about Washington at 29, obviously so dependent on what happens in front of them. I think conventional wisdom around here is that folks say, hey, they need an edge. This is a pretty deep edge group. But it may be, looking at your latest mock, where, you know, maybe the guys that they want are gone in front of them. So where might they pivot? Hey, just what do you think of the edge market in the first round? And your prognostication doesn't have an edge going there. What are your thoughts?
And it's tough, obviously, when you're picking 29th. You just have no idea how those first 28 picks are going to play out. And this is a pretty good edge group, just in terms of volume. There's a lot of different options in terms of which way you want to go, if you want. If you prioritize size, speed, power, hand use, depending on what you want, there's a little bit of everything for depending on, you know, the scheme that you run and the type of player you ideally want to target there. It's just, will the right guy be there for Washington? And I think edge is definitely the top need of the group. But, you know, we could also see them go after a corner. You know, Lattimore was up and down last year. Igbinogheni is on a cheap 1 year deal. You know, if the right corner is there, I think that could make sense. And I still, you know, in my 7-round mock, I had the Commanders going to Mecca Ibuka, and I still really like that fit, even if defense is probably the more likely route they'll go. You know, I just think about, helping a young quarterback, and, you know, Deebo Samuel could be one and done with the Commanders. Luke McCaffrey's a good young player, but it's not going to stop me from trying to upgrade at receiver. De'Ami Brown's gone. Zacchaeus left in free agency. So adding another playmaker, you lock up Terry McLaurin long-term, adding Ibuka, and, you know, you feel good about what you've done for your quarterback and his development here the next 3-4 years.
You did have them going with Maxwell Hairston, the corner, at 29 in your last mock. Can you give us a breakdown on him and the corners that might be available there? Because that is probably their number two need.
Yeah, and I think that is a very realistic option for them in the first round. And, you know, Harrison's a guy that was in that mix as a late one, early two, going back to January. But when he ran the 4.2s at the combine, that kind of, you know, really propelled him. And we could see him go as early as 23 to the Packers. But if he were to be available for the Commanders, I think he's someone that could potentially make sense. Missed part of this past year with an injury. So the production's not going to really jump out at you, but go back to his 2023 season, started all 13 games, 5 interceptions, 2 of them brought back for touchdowns, pick sixes. Not going to wow you with size, but speed, he can play man to man. I think he's a smart, aggressive player. The way he can recognize route breaks, he's very patient up and down the field, so he can attach himself to different types of route runners. He's wired the way you want a corner to be wired in terms of the confidence, just the bravado, the quick, the short memory. Doesn't have a body to be an impact run defender, but at least the want to is there. So I think that could be a potential fit. If they go another corner, they could go in that area. Trey Amos from Ole Miss, who is kind of right there in that same mix in the late first round, a little bit bigger, also ran really well at the combine. And, what he did, he was a backup. This time last year, he was a backup at Alabama behind Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold. He transferred to Ole Miss and has an all-SEC type of year. Had a really outstanding process to just the Senior Bowl, the combine. And then I had one scout tell me that Amos had one of the two best cornerback just workouts that he saw this cycle in terms of the movement skills and the ball reactions and all of that. So Trey Amos, I think, is another name to keep in mind for the Commanders in that late first.
Dane, I want to talk running back here. I think Ashton Jeanty may be in his own category, kind of consensus top five here. But after that, when you look at an Omarion Hampton or a Henderson or something like that, how big is the gap between those guys that, have some first-round potential here tonight and, say, that mid-round running back, right? The Bashaul Tootens of the world or Jordan James. How big is the gap there in terms of value for a team maybe waiting until kind of those mid-rounds?
Yeah, and I think that the fact that this running back class is so deep, I 100% agree with you. I don't think it should affect whether the Jaguars or the Raiders or the Bears draft Ashton Jeanty in the top 10. But if you're the Broncos, if you're the Commanders, if you're the Vikings or the Rams, one of these teams in the late first that could be looking at running back, it's definitely some part of the equation. You look at who's going to be available for you. Third round, fourth round, the Commanders, they don't have a third round pick, so that could factor into their decision making, just who's going to be there in a second, who's going to be there in the fourth. And only having five picks this year, you have to maximize each one. And so just getting a sense for the running backs that'll be available later on. And, me personally, I think it comes down to if you have a similar grade on a running back, edge, and a corner, I'm definitely going edge or corner, and because I feel really good about who's going to be available for me at the running back position later on. If I can get RJ Harvey in the third round, awesome. From UCF, that fits. That's the exact type of running back I want to get. Tootin from Virginia Tech, I can get him in the fourth round. Okay, perfect. Devin Neal, fourth round from Kansas. All right. I mean, we can go on and on about how many running backs are going to go outside of the top 100. That will have a chance to come in, contribute, and help make an offense better. So I would lean towards waiting myself, but I could understand if a team looks at Omarion Hampton or Travion Henderson and says, "Hey, this is the best player on our board. Let's add an impact offensive player here."
Dane Brugler of The Athletic, two on the quarterback position. If Shedeur Sanders falls out of the first round, why did it happen? Is it football specific, or is it maybe dealing with him or Dion or whatever comes with that? And then second, which teams are most likely to trade back up into the end of the first round with Washington or somebody else to get a quarterback?
Yeah, and I think to answer the second question first, it's, you're looking at the Browns at 33, the Giants, I don't know if they would make that interdivision type of trade with the Commanders, but that's definitely one of the teams eyeing a move back up into late first. And then you have to factor into the Saints, who have never been afraid to move up in the draft. They'll be talked about in that mix, and then the Seahawks as well. So there will be multiple teams kind of just putting their toe in the water and figuring out, okay, what would it cost for us to move up? Who's going to be interested? What are those landing spots? And then just trying to figure out, do we have to do that, or could we stick and pick where we are at 33, 34, 39, just still get Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart, the guy that we want. If Shedeur falls out of the first round, it'll be really interesting what the Browns then do at 33. Could they get Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders in the same draft and not have to make a single trade? It's certainly possible, but we know quarterback is very much an intangible position, and you have to, as a head coach, as a general manager, as an organization, you have to believe that the quarterback not only has the physical traits and the skills on the field, but what it takes to, you know, lead an organization, lead a locker room. And that's just, we don't have enough information about how each team views Shedeur Sanders in that light. But I think just talking about what the tape says, he is a good player, but there are areas of his game that give you concern, especially, you know, when you look at him against the better defenses that he faced this year, BYU, Kansas State, and Nebraska. He struggled in a lot of those games. And yeah, he played behind a bad offensive line, but some of those sacks are on the quarterback. And so when you go to the NFL and everybody's just bigger, faster, stronger, it's not going to get any easier. Even if he does have a better offensive line, even if he has better talent around him, it's not going to be very easy. So it, like I said, if Shedeur could go 21 to the Steelers, I wouldn't be surprised. He could fall out of the first round. I wouldn't be surprised. He is certainly the wild card to watch here on day one of the draft.
If Tyler Shuck was 2 years younger, what would we be talking about for his draft possibilities?
Quarterback, too. I mean, I think it's not even the age. It's more just the medicals and the fact that he only played last year at Louisville was the only time in his 7 years in college that he played more than 8 games in a year. That is more the concern necessarily than just the number of how old he is just trusting that he's going to be able to stay on the field and be available. But yeah, if he were 23 years old, played, 4 years in college or was a 3-year starter, whatever, he'd be quarterback too, and he'd be off the board somewhere in the top 20 picks. And the way NFL teams feel about him, I feel confident saying that, but that's not the case. He's going to be a 26-year-old rookie. He does have the medical stuff. So it makes it a little bit of a tougher evaluation that I'll say this, NFL teams like Tyler Shuck a whole lot more than I think NFL fans do.
Dan, who are some guys, not necessarily reflected in your grades, I know you're calling balls and strikes here, but who are some guys that you just like, that every time you turn on the tape or start to study, it just makes you happy? Who are some of your favorite players in this draft?
Yeah, Carson Schwechter, the linebacker from UCLA. It's a thing of beauty with his speed and his instincts, just watching him go attack the football. If he were a little bit bigger and was better taking on blocks, he'd be a first-round slam dunk. But he's a little soft at the point of attack. And so that he can still be a big-time player because, again, the speed and instincts are special. But that's the only thing keeping him out of the first round. Carson Schwechter is a lot of fun to watch. Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle at Oregon, is one of those guys. Jacob Parrish, the corner at Kansas State. He reminds me of those Washington corners that, you know, the last few years of Byron Murphy and Trent McDuffie and all those guys. Parrish is a little bit undersized, but he's fast. He plays fast. And he sees the field really well. Terrence Ferguson, the tight end at Oregon, is another one. So this class has a lot of guys that you project as starters. Even though we're missing the star power at the top, I mean, Washington did a really nice job being bad when they were last year to get Jaden Daniels and then being good this year where they're picking in the middle of a tier where there's just a lot of NFL starters. And going into the second round at 61, I think there's a very good chance they're going to get a long-term starter at that point, because the late day one and then into day two, rounds 2, 3, and 4, that's where we're flush with guys that you project as being starters in this league.
I don't think there's a more thorough draft packet of analysis, and packet doesn't do it justice, than the Beast. If you're an Athletic subscriber, should have it with you during the draft. And if you're not, you could subscribe and get it for tonight. Dane Brugler, I worked hard on that for months. Before we let you go, my last one for you. If there is a splash trade, someone comes up the board in the top half the first round, call your shot on a team, and maybe the earliest we could see something like that happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that unique, but I'll say that the Giants go up to get Jackson Dart. I think the Vikings at 24, the Rams at 26, I think those are the two teams to look for. They could even go earlier if they feel like they have to get in front of the Steelers to make that move. But I think that, if you're Joe Shane, do you really care about 2026 draft picks at this point? You have to really hit a home run in this draft. You get Abdul Carter at 3. You go back and get whoever the quarterback is that Brian Daboll and your staff believe in, then go and do it. Use a second rounder next year to go make that move, and let the chips fall where they may.
Dame, great with us. Great content as always, my friend. Thanks, and enjoy the draft tonight.
No, anytime. You guys too.
Dane Brugler of The Athletic.